Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week we started a series of Lenten sermons looking at God's salvation history through the lens of the Old Testament. We reflected on the journey God's people take with him from sin through to salvation and where we are personally on that journey. In particular, we looked at the account of Noah and how God made a covenant with him and with all creatures on earth, a promise that God would never send another great flood. Finally, we reflected on how the water of the flood symbolizes baptism, which washes away our sin and assures us that God has done everything necessary to save us. Today, we'll reflect on God's salvation in the life of Abraham and what that means for us. Reading again selected verses from Genesis 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram fell face down and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram, your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations." Then God said to Abraham, "As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised." God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her." We pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. According to Genesis, Abraham was born about 300 years after the flood. He was a descendant of Noah through Noah's son Shem. When Abraham was 75 years old, God called him to leave Haran in Mesopotamia and move to the land of Canaan. At that time, God promised to bless Abraham and to make him into a great nation. God also promised that all peoples on earth would be blessed through him. Abraham trusted God and moved to Canaan with his wife Sarai and nephew Lot. Later in Canaan, God made a covenant with Abraham, reaffirming his previous promises. Despite being old and childless, God promised Abraham descendants as numerous as the stars. And Abraham, as we heard in today's epistle from Romans, simply believed God. And yet, nothing happened. Sarai remained childless. And so after about 10 years in Canaan, she encouraged Abraham to marry her slave Hagar, with whom he had a son, Ishmael. But Ishmael was not the son of the promise. So they waited some more, another 13 years or so. Finally, God appeared to Abraham when he was 99 and repeated his promise. But this time, God not only renewed the covenant, but actually strengthened it. God revealed himself as God Almighty, promising to be the God of Abraham and his descendants forever. And God bound himself to the covenant with a sign, just as he'd previously given the rainbow as a sign of his covenant with Noah. This time, the sign to God was Abraham and Sarai's new names. Abraham became Abraham, which means father of many nations. And Sarai became Sarah, which means princess, because she would be the mother of nations and mother of kings. Despite their advanced ages, 99 and 90 respectively, they would have a son within a year, and they would name him Isaac. And God would remember this promise, because every time he looked at Abraham and Sarah, he would remember that they were to become a princess and a father of many nations. What's more, for the first time in their covenantal dealings, God also expected something of Abraham. He was to walk faithfully and blamelessly before God. And the sign of this covenant to Abraham and his descendants a reminder that they were now God's people, was circumcision. This chapter of Genesis then is another significant milestone in God's dealings with humans, including us. Here God set aside for himself a family through which he would complete his plans to rescue humanity from the sin of Adam and Eve. And while this family was initially based on biology, being a physical descendant of Abraham, this changed in the New Testament. As we heard in today's epistle reading, Paul explained to the Romans, both Jew and Gentile, that eligibility for God's blessings was not based on circumcision, nor was it based on keeping the law, as the Jews thought. Rather, belonging to God's family is based purely on faith, faith with which even Gentiles like us can have. Paul said in Romans 4, "It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all." Now, circumcision is no longer the sign of our covenant with God. Instead, as we heard last week, baptism is the way to become part of his family and receive his promised blessings. This is confirmed in Colossians 2, where Paul writes, "In Christ, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." So yes, baptism brings with it the blessing of new life. But like its earlier analog circumcision, baptism also brings with it responsibilities, as we also discussed last week. Like the Old Testament people of God, we New Testament people are also called to walk faithfully and blamelessly before God. And that's not something we can do ourselves. Thankfully, what we can't do, God can. And he proved it in his dealings with Abraham. When God appeared to Abraham, he declared himself to be God Almighty. And this was no idle boast. As I mentioned before, within about a year, Abraham and Sarah were blessed with Isaac. You can well imagine their delight that something humanly impossible actually came to pass. God truly is, as Paul beautifully put it, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. God is in the business of creating, of giving life and resurrecting from the dead. Not just physical life and death, but spiritual life and death as well. This is perhaps why many Christians undervalue baptism. They see it only as an outward response to an inward confession, a sign that they are making a decision for Christ. But baptism is a much more profound transformation. It takes someone who was spiritually dead in their sins and raises them to new life in Christ. Our new birth by water and the Spirit is as amazing as God's initial creation of us through our biological parents, even more amazing than the gift of a son to aged parents. But so what? What does this miracle thousands of years ago have to do with us today? I suggest that the account of Abraham and Sarah should be an encouragement to us. It's a reminder that we have a God who is almighty. Nothing is too big or too small for him. He is a God who loves to promise his people good things, and he always keeps his promises, no matter how difficult they appear to be from our human perspective. And that knowledge should bring us comfort, especially when we experience challenges in life. Through Abraham and Sarah, God proved there is no challenge he cannot overcome, whether those challenges are personal or communal, physical or spiritual. whether they relate to finances or health or our future. On Wednesday at our Lenten devotion, we were reflecting on why it is that many have left the church. One suggestion was that affluence is a problem, and I agree it's part of the reason. Who needs God when they can have their needs met through a well-paying job, a good healthcare system, and a safe and stable society? But we also discussed how quickly the security of such affluence can be taken away. It only takes a financial crisis, a global pandemic, or a bad medical diagnosis for people to realize how powerless the god of worldly wealth can be. But before we criticize those outside of the church for being blinded by worldly concerns, we would do well to investigate the inclination of our own hearts. How often is our own sense of security determined by the level of our bank balance rather than God's promises? How often do we look to worldly solutions first and only look to our Heavenly Father as an afterthought? If you think I'm being a bit harsh, just look at the topics for discussion at our AGMs and synods and the ways in which those discussions are often carried out. What the church discusses in its meetings often reveals its true priorities. Thankfully, while we struggle to walk faithfully before God, He never ceases to be faithful. While we often fail to uphold our side of the covenant, God never goes back on His. We have a God who assures us every day through the challenges of life, "Don't worry, I've got this. Don't fear, I've got you. I created you, so won't I also take care of you? You can trust my promises, even if they appear impossible. They might be outside of your capability, but they are no problem for me." And God proved both His willingness and His ability to provide all the things you need, whether they be money, health, security, or whatever, by fulfilling His promises to Abraham. Not just in the promised birth of Isaac, but in His promise to Sarah that she would be a princess, the mother of kings. Indeed, the mother of one very special king, King Jesus. Now, through a new covenant, Jesus brings all nations of the earth into God's family through baptism. And Jesus has established an eternal kingdom to which you already belong and in which you will live with God forever. Dear people of God, He did not just speak to Abraham in the distant past, but He speaks to you every time you read His word or worship in His house. He says to you, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless." But He doesn't ask you to do that in your own strength. Instead, He has brought you into His family through baptism and has joined you with Jesus so that you can keep His covenant. And God promises to keep His covenant to you as well. He shows through His actions in the past that He is both faithful and able to do everything needed to bless you into the future. Regardless of the challenges in life, God promises to keep you safe in His care forever. Praise Him for His wonderful generosity. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.